This is the new Weight Watchers, built for real life and real results, no matter what mode you're in. Maddie went all in for her big day and lost 33 pounds. Emily lost 85 pounds and hit her goal while still living her life.
Weight Watchers gave me the tools and I feel amazing.
Join the millions of members and lose weight with the number one doctor-recommended weight loss program. Lose more at weightwatchers.com.
At 6 months, participants in a clinical trial of Weight Watchers program lost an average of 12 pounds.
You're listening to Bach in the Black Shirt.
Terrell Farley.
Defending Terrell Farley,
who last week in his first start was a holy terror, number 43.
And Jake Bachovin. Bach. On air and online at theticketfm.com. Powered by Bauer.
Welcome back to Bach in the Black Shirt here on 93.7 The Ticket. We are on Monday through Friday from 1 to 3. Hope you're enjoying the boys' state basketball tournament here brought by the 93.7 The Ticket crew. Jay Foreman and Austin Orman and Nick out there doing an excellent job. Bach, is it another story like the Dolphin Man? Did FanDuel really say Nebraska win total is 5.5?
Yes, they've got all the Big Ten win totals out here, and some of them might surprise you. But, I mean, obviously for Nebraska fans to check in at 5.5 being the win total. And a reminder, by the way, Nebraska has not hit the over, I don't think, in the win total for FanDuel since 2016. So usually Nebraska is not hitting the overs on these things. Has not been, you know, obviously not a good look, but I think that kind of goes further into talking to why Nebraska and Matt Rhule and staff in general, it's kind of a more quiet offseason this year, is because there's not any natural, hey, it's year three, you know, big jump for Dylan Riley expected, all that sort of stuff that we had last year. When you get blown out the final three games, you have to make all these adjustments. You got a tough schedule coming up. You know, everything just kind of is combining for people to question. Okay, and so we're back here. We kind of get stuck in this. Okay, are we in the 7-6 purgatory? Well, FanDuel's stepping out and saying, yeah, you might be lucky to get to a bowl game next year.
Bob, I'm just looking at the win total and all the stuff for all the different schools. This is mind-boggling because it just seems like nobody has faith in Nebraska anymore.
Well, but I mean, where's the faith come from, right? It needs to come from the field results at some point.
This has to be some bulletin board stuff that these guys have to use as motivation, because if you don't use this as motivation, you're just out there playing, Bach, for money then. But if you use this for the right motivation, Bach, this should have this team fired up right now, especially going into summer workouts with, you know, having spring break off for a week, Bach. But when you do come back in the summer, you have this posted in the weight room on the video of boards. 5.5.
5.5.
You make t-shirts of that. You use that to get these kids really angry, motivated to have a great summer. And then you come back and you just want to go out there and kick tail. So you have to use this as motivation. You have to use this as some type of motivation for these kids. Because if you don't, then you're just going to accept the 5.5 and you're just going to be that 7-5 or 5-7 team this year.
Well, it is a big reminder, right? I mean, where the program is at 7-6 might not be where you want it to be, but it's a stark reminder here. And then it has been worse and it could get worse. I mean, you go back into that and there is a possibility. I mean, everything seems to come down to Nebraska and Iowa every season, and Nebraska lets Iowa run away with it. But, you know, I think there is a possibility. It comes down again to whether you make a bowl game or not. You know, Black Friday in Iowa City. Now, hopefully not. Like, Nebraska fans know there is going to be the opportunity to do much more than that before that. But, like, I mean, it's enough of kind of talk around the program. You know, you could hang up 5.5, but I mean, what would it say if you get to seven? You know, I mean, is that a winning season? I mean, that's what we have to start asking ourselves. Is 7-6 a good year for Nebraska then this upcoming year if national expectations are borderline make a bowl game?
Yeah, but here's the thing I was doing yesterday. I was just browsing through the internet. And here's the difference between teams. Did you see the Oklahoma practice I sent you yesterday?
Huh.
Watch it, Bach, and see the difference of practice. And see the difference between them as a team who went to the playoffs and a team who don't go to the playoffs. There was no music. There was no handshakes. There was no dancing. It was a head coach sitting there studying his team. They was running routes. Bach looked like a complete football team. Mm. This is what football teams look like. You don't need music. You don't need hand claps. You don't need dancing to be a football team, a serious football team. Just go watch how other teams practice. And the way we practice is that these guys need to tighten up on all aspects of the football game.
Well, and then, too, I mean, again, when there's so much change in the coaching staff and you're installing another defense here, you know, got a different approach to the run game this year, right? They've said the offensive line this year, less kind of powerful north and south, but more athletic. So might allow them to kind of get on the edge and all that. And again, you have to do this with every team. Every team has to do it in the offseason where there's so much change in college football now. But there's especially a lot of change for Nebraska this year, too. And again, I think that's probably factoring into this, whether it be the practice that you're talking about or the win percentage, is you're installing. Again, you're installing a defense. That's what Rob Orch has kind of talked about, is kind of getting from the 100 level of this defense to the 200 level to the 300 level. And that's all good and great. But, you know, compare that to a team like an Oklahoma or, you know, I don't even know their specifics, but, you know, as many of these teams that aren't replacing defensive coordinators or schemes that didn't work, you know, they are not getting to a 1 or 2 and a 3. They're starting spring practice at that 300-400 level. And get a run from there. So again, it is always a benefit. We hear about it every offseason, every time you go into a year two of a program is, okay, well, now there's not install, right? We've kind of got that out of the way. Nebraska's dealing with that again. Felt like they had to, right? The defense was certainly not where it needed to be by the end of the year. You could argue the offense wasn't. That's maybe why they made some of those adjustments as well. But, you know, I think it can be good. We talk about it all the time, and maybe, like you said, maybe you can use it as bold material, but at some point, Nebraska football has to stop having all these expectations and all these things handed to them, feeling like they are one of the top dogs. They might be historically, but anybody on that roster and anybody that's been through it the last couple of years, they haven't been, right? And we've been here for long enough, you know, covering the team. It just hasn't been this way for years and years, and so maybe people have said before, what's hurting Nebraska, what's holding them back, is that fans keep showing up. Is that, you know,
they hold themselves back.
There's all this sort of media attention all the time. And again, I love it. I love the fact that there's this deep love for the college program at Nebraska, more so than there is most places around the nation. But, you know, maybe it's not too bad to kind of be overlooked or you know, not considered a contender going in, and you can earn your way back into those discussions.
That's a long way you have to learn, Bach. I think people just realize we're not a good program. When we talk about football-wise, we're just average Joe. When we talk about what Nebraska brings to football now, when people don't have faith in you, Bach, and you use this for bulletin board material, you have to – these guys got to grow some, Bach. They got to grow up fast. I mean, not just overnight. And when we talk about installing stuff on defense – but you could install 20 defenses, but, you know, during the season, you're probably only going to play four or five of them the most. You'll stay in your base as much as you can until it's third or fourth down, and you switch it up. You want to go blitz. You want to go that. But what I'm talking about, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Who's more worried, Matt Rhule or the AD? What's his name?
Troy Dannon.
Which one is the most worried right now, you think?
Well, it'll be interesting, and I've thought about this for a while, because when it comes there is that Troy Dannon didn't hire Matt Rhule, right? And so usually you might get an opportunity to go ahead and make the next move if that does come out. And so his job security, to your question, might be there a little bit more. But that extension last year and the results since then, remember right before the Minnesota game and then the season kind of started to fall apart, that all but kind of puts Troy Dan and kind of back into those circles. So, I think they're and we've had discussions and I've seen some text line response and some response on Twitter. Well, Matt Rhule's not on the hot seat. He's not going to be on any hot seat list, but the point is he's kind of dancing around it, if you will. I mean, a bad loss, especially for a team that's going to need every win they can get in September. If you have a loss in September next year, I think you're already starting to kind of talk about some things. And so, obviously talking about before the Michigan State game, even that Michigan State game obviously would be a first year head coach and Pat Fitzgerald out there. That would be September 26th. I mean, Nebraska's got to take advantage of.
I'll be honest. This summer is stacked. Between that one big international soccer tournament, America's 250th anniversary, and the Route 66 centennial, people are going to be traveling. What a lot of folks don't realize is that taking a trip in an RV is a whole heck of a lot more enjoyable than TSA lines or stodgy hotels. And you don't even have to own an RV or drive one to take part. With Outdoorsy, you can rent an RV or camper almost anywhere in the country. You can drive it, tow it, or have it delivered and set up for you. And these aren't bare-bones setups. Many come with full kitchens, bathrooms, showers, and real beds. It's often more affordable than hotels, especially for families or groups. And everything includes insurance, 24/7 support, and roadside assistance. If you're thinking about a summer trip or just planning ahead for the rest of 2026, get 10% off when you book using promo code OUTDOORSY2026. Head to OUTDOORSY.com. That's OUTDOORSY.com, promo code OUTDOORSY2026.
Of the early slate, if they're going to meet and surpass that 5.5 that we're talking about. But, I guess I would say Troy Dannon, because Matt Rhule, he said it for a long time, regardless of what happens here, he's pretty much a made man as far as, going back to his home and, having the money that he needs to, and certainly would have job security or have a job opportunity if he wanted one elsewhere. Wouldn't be as high end probably, but if you've had success at two of the football programs, and I don't know what you would call this, but some sort of success at Nebraska before, if it would fall out, then I think he would still have some opportunities as well.
Here's the problem, Bog. I think we're trying to give Matt Rhule a pass for this year because of the schedule. You still have to go out here and play these games, Bog. I can't give you a pass because you got a 2007 class waiting that has probably ranked number 5. That's still another 2 years you have to develop these guys. And now we have to sit here and wait another 2 years. But I can't afford to wait 2 more years for Matt Rhule to get this thing together because you already have 5 years. So either we learn how to play as a football team or this season is going to be so bad that probably one of the worst, and probably Scott Frost season if we don't watch it.
Well, or as bad, right? They never got to the bowl games under Scott Frost. Obviously struggled in a few of the years under Mike Riley. And so it's been a long run for Nebraska. Again, to look at that schedule, and we can kind of go through it, was they're looking for 5 wins here. Ohio, with the new coach coming in, I mean, they had a good record last year coming in and starting the game for Nebraska. You've said it all along, you got to win these games. You can say what you want about that being a good MAC team or whatever. You got to beat the MAC teams if you're Nebraska. Bowling Green would be next on September 12th. That's a not as good of a MAC team. That should be a win. North Dakota has given some teams some troubles over the years. But again, you can't in year 4 lose to North Dakota at home. So when we talk about that 5.5, they've got to go 3-0 in non-con. If you don't, again, then you're starting to have different conversations around here, a la, losses that both Mike Riley and Scott Frost had in their non-con in their final season that kind of started to push things. Michigan State would be Nebraska's first game. I talked about that. That's got to be a win. You got to be able to beat, Fitzgerald. And when I say all these got to be wins, that's the first one that's kind of like, okay, maybe you can make up for that later if you do lose it. But when we're counting the 5.5, you would consider that an opportunity. Then you have Maryland at home. Mike Loxley lives on the hot seat. It has been for years. But that's a young team. We'll see how they, by October, they're going to be warmed up. We'll see where they are then. Obviously, a lot of people remembered how close they pushed Nebraska last year. After that Nebraska game, I don't think they won a game after that. I mean, they really struggled down the stretch. So they'll see what they turn into. So for a team, I guess my point in all of that is for a team that's predicted to win 5.5, you've got a pretty good chance at 5-0 out of the get-go.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, because then you have Indiana, but I was going to go.
Then it's going to get tough, yeah.
Yeah, then it'll get tough. But, you know, if they slip up early and lose one of those games, it throws the whole season off.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Because especially a North Dakota school like that who's been upset quite a lot of other D1 schools. So, and then, like I said, the Maryland team has always been tough, played tough last year, got great guys coming back on their DN, their D-line. They're giving a little bit more to NIL, so this team might be a little bit better than what we expected to be. I know their win total is a little higher than ours or a little below ours, Bach, isn't it?
Who's that, Maryland? Maryland is at 4.5.
Four and a half, so one game more. But I believe we can win 6-7 games, though.
Yeah. I think it's possible. You know, the rest of the schedule goes as this. Versus Indiana at Oregon against Washington there after a bye week on Halloween. Return to at Illinois, at Rutgers. Final four games November at Illinois, at Rutgers. Ohio State at home and at Iowa. Of course, Nebraska's had their November struggles under Matt Rule 2-10. You got three of the four away games there in November, and the only home game is Ohio State. So they're gonna have to do something right. Hopefully can kind of get it going. But again, part of this too is there's a possibility Washington, Illinois, you know, some of these some of these teams that maybe were better last year than they are this upcoming year. But again, at some point you don't just want to kind of get lucky with a draw or something like that. You want to start to beat teams. And that's where it kind of gets interesting is when you look at the Oregon game, certainly, but Indiana and Ohio State as well. You know, Nebraska, unfortunately, is in a position in three of those games where they probably don't have the roster that those other teams do. And when we say that, you know, historically, it's all right, we'll recruit better, all that sort of stuff. I don't know if they have the finances that those teams do. So I think that's kind of interesting as we get to it and as we kind of adjust moving forward. All that being said, Indiana didn't let that be an excuse last year. You know, they didn't win the whole damn thing.
Yeah, Bach. I guess I don't know, Bach. I'm just so ready for. I still need another month off when we talk about football. I'm not ready to talk about football. I'm still in the basketball phase of things. So that's why I don't want to say too much yet until I really study this team because I haven't had a chance to go watch the practice yet. We still have spring game around. They say Anthony Calandra, he's that guy. I mean, if he does it with his foot. But if I had to study a guy like Calandra Bach, and I'm a very smart linebacker when it comes to watching what a quarterback does best. If I was teams or if I was, you know, coaches, you watch what he does. Is he a fake the handoff and go to the outside or just fake it and go around that way? You got to learn the motion of this quarterback. See, when you talk about he's giving them fits at practice, that's because your defense end is sucking in too much. He's sucking in. So if they go down, Bach, don't go all the way down with him. You just take a step in and then come to the outside because he's a mobile quarterback. He's going to roll back out to the side that he's best to throw on. So you're looking at something like a bootleg or a fake handoff, something like that with a spin around. That's what I've been watching a lot about. He's a spin around quarterback. Spin around quarterback is that he's spinning around instead of handing the ball off and faking it around. And so he tries to get a lot of speed like that because he comes out that handoff in a full sprint. Mm. So if you keep watching film on him, a very smart linebacker would pick up on that and a defensive coordinator too. So and as long as you have a defensive end that is really a stay-at-home player that doesn't get suckered a lot, then, you know, that plays fundamental football.
Mm.
And then that's going to be the backfire. Not the backfire, but those are going to be great games that Nebraska has to figure out a way to win with a rushing game then.
Well, and of course, it's that defensive line, the contain that you're talking about. Nebraska plays you know, opponents like that. I mean, there's just a lot of questions around the program. That's why you are where you are. And you kind of even think like maybe Calandria is, you know, an equalizer. He can go out there and make up for, you know, some deficiencies elsewhere. Is he's a 1 year rental, right? I mean, so again, if they're winning games because of Calandria, it'll be great. I mean, it's a good ad. It's what they need for this time in the program. But you also need to start to build some of those other spots. Like you're talking about the defensive line, offensive line. And they made the some adjustments this offseason to do so, right? It's not like, you know, they don't see it. But that needs to, if you're going to win in the Big Ten, and it's crazy, here we are again in year four of yet another coach and going, okay, well, they need to get the front lines right if you're going to win in the Big Ten. That's been the problem for Nebraska for a long time. Now, they've, at times, and even under Matt Rhule, you know, with Ty Robinson and Nash Huttmacher and those guys, throw Bullock in there, you know, a guy at linebacker playing NFL ball now, you know, they've had some good stay there. And remember, this defense has been a top 25 defense for the last couple of years. I don't know where it officially ended with after the Utah performance, but going into the Utah game, they were. So, you know, it's not all doom and gloom. It's just, again, how that kind of ended. And so are you even closer to the 7-6 team that the record says you are? Or are you closer to the 0-3 team getting blown out by the end? Because that's where we saw you latest. You know, that's where I think a lot of this, again, Nebraska is going to have to earn their way back into people believing in them. Because if they're it's like, you know, everybody's been burnt at one time or the other, feeling like this is the year Nebraska is going to be back, both locally and nationally, that I think it's just happened one too many times. And now Nebraska fans and the national media are going to sit back and say, prove it, show it on the field. You got to win one of those big games. And so we'll see. I mean, like you said, there's lots of attention this offseason. They attempted to get some things rolling, but they're not going to be anybody's favorite coming in. They're going to have to earn that right. And hopefully surprise some folks and get us back to where we want to be, or at least back in that trajectory.
You're right, Bach. We're gonna let it marinate on that, Bach. We'll still talk about this more Monday when we come back. Stay tuned for more high school basketball. Lincoln Southwest versus West Side next here on 93.7 The Ticket.